Well, Father, I truly do thank you. And look at all these wonderful faces sitting here tonight, Father God. And I thank you for smiling down upon them. And I'm asking, Father, that whatever they have need of, I would like you to meet it right now. Some in here need miracles, Father, and you can do that. Whatever it is, Father God, I know that you've already accomplished the works. I thank you for ears to hear tonight, hearts that are receptive to receive. And I thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, a lot of times when I'm praying for you people, I've been seeing a whirlwind around about you. And I don't know if I've told you that in the prophetic word, but I could see this whirlwind all around about you. And so I ran across this. It came across my desk. I didn't run across it. It found me. Amen. So I just want to talk about this tonight because some of you are in this whirlwind, and it's a good thing. You know, the whirlwinds that I saw around you were good whirlwinds. They were doing good things for you. All right, in a dream on the morning of November the 2nd, 2023, I saw the angel of the Lord as a whirlwind. Every time this angel began to blow the winds, the people began to panic and become afraid as they saw the things around them moving. This happened 4 different times in the dream. Each time this occurred, I would tell the people to not be afraid of the change that was coming and taking place. I told the people that these accelerated changes and winds that were blowing were from the Lord. And I know that whenever I prophesied to you and I saw the whirlwinds around about you, it was whenever God was telling you he was bringing change into your life. And being in a whirlwind can be a good thing, it can be a bad thing. But what I saw when I prophesied to you people was a good thing. All right, I believe this dream is a continuation of the dream that I recently had about the east wind. I think it's important in this hour to pay attention to the winds of God or the movements of God that are taking place. Now, how many times has God asked this church, do you hear the wind? He asks that of us over and over. Don't you hear the wind? And see, because you have not been hearing the wind, God couldn't do the change that he needed to do in your life. And you can hear that wind in many different ways. It's just not with your ears. John 3:5-8 says, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You know, when you read that and then you hear people say, well, you don't have to be baptized, or you should never be baptized by the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, you wonder why God put this in his word. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You know, that's born again. We all know when a woman has a baby, the water breaks and the baby comes forth. But whenever you're born again, then you get baptized in water and the Holy Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And how many times has God told us, I am now calling spirit to spirit. Religion is out the window. It's now spirit. You have to be walking in the Spirit to hear and understand the things of the Spirit. Verse 7 says, Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Now, because the wind is not something you can necessarily see in nature, you must tune into the things of the Spirit to see the movement of God. His winds have a sound or frequency that we can tune into so we can be led by his Spirit. Although we can't see the wind in the natural, we are able to see the effects of the wind. When you witness a whirlwind, you usually stand in awe watching the winds blow. Once the winds move on, you are able to see how they have changed the landscape around you. Trees that were once there are no longer there, or they are broken in half. Debris was thrown all over the place. Things had changed in a moment. right? And God has told you he's going to change you in the wink of his eye. All right? What is a whirlwind and what does it do? A whirlwind is a very strong wind that moves in a spinning or swirling motion that can damage buildings and trees and so on. A whirlwind also represents something happening or done very quickly. Let's discuss the significance and purpose of a whirlwind. First of all, it's a power of God. Biblically, a whirlwind represents or displays the power and might of God. In Nahum 1:3 says, he displays his power in the whirlwind and the storm. There is an awe and reverence that is released when God comes like a whirlwind. You know, when you think about things, when tornadoes and everything happens, how come six houses are caught up in a whirlwind and the seventh one is sitting there, nothing in the yard or anything touched? Who's in control of that whirlwind? God is. And I'll never forget Jesse Duplantis one time when there was a tornado. I think he lives in Florida, wherever he lives. And he went out and stood in his porch and said, "Devil, you will not touch this house. It belongs to God." And the houses around him were damaged or even blown apart. But his house, nothing, not even a tree, was disturbed in his yard. Who was in control of that world, that tornado? It was God. You need to understand God is in control of all things. He allows the enemy to have you, to sift you as wheat, to strengthen you, and to show not only the devil, but to show you yourself what you're truly made of. All right? All right, then. I said there is an awe and a reverence that is released when God comes like a whirlwind. It sets himself apart from every other god because no god has power like our Father does. God presents himself in this way at times to display the awe and mystery that he carries. He never wants us to become so familiar with him that we misinterpret his greatness. And I've watched people do that. You know, God changes constantly, you know, what he does in your life. You know, and when people just think they have him nailed down and know exactly what his next move is going to be, you've just become too familiar and you're missing God altogether. In Acts 2, we also see the wind of God released in the upper room that displayed his power and filled the people of God with the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:1 through 4 says, when the feast of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. God could send his wind in here right now. We're all together in one place. You guys are all hyped up. You know, you just won the battle, right? And now God could move in a wonderful way. Without warning, there was a sound like a strong wind, gale force. No one could tell where it came from. It filled the whole building. Then, like a wildfire, the Holy Spirit spread through their ranks, and they started speaking in a number of different languages as Spirit prompted them. All because God's wind blew. Now the voice of God. Throughout the Bible, God would speak through a whirlwind in Job 38:1. Then the Lord answered Job from the whirlwind. We also see this in the story of Elijah when he ran in fear from Jezebel. 1 Kings 19:11, go out and stand before me on the mountain, the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. From these two scriptures, we can denote that God could speak to his people from the wind. This was a thing that both Elijah and Job had experienced. The whirlwind was and is another cloud of darkness he hides himself in Psalm 18:11. God wrapped himself in darkness that covered him like a tent. He was hidden by dark clouds heavy with water. And that whole Psalm 18 is all really good. You know, just when you read it, it gives you a different picture of God. You know, it just makes you look at him in a totally different way. This is what we need. This is why you need to be in the Word, because, you know, we can think God's one thing, and then we read his scriptures, and he looks like something else, and then you go to another scripture, it looks like something else, and he's an all-consuming God. You know, he's not like you and I, we're just us. You know, God just is. All right, let's look at the life of God. The whirlwind is the life of God. The winds of God release the life of God because they carry the rock, breath of God. The Hebrew word rock, pronounced rokla, is used in the Bible to describe the power or presence of God. Rock can mean spirit, wind, or breath. The first mention of rock in the Bible is in the very first chapter of Genesis 1:2, to be exact. And the earth was a formless and desolate emptiness, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the spirit, rock of God, was hovering over the surface of the waters. All right, so it can mean what did we say it meant? Spirit, wind, or breath. And, you know, as I was studying this and reading the scriptures, you know, when God says, I breathed life into you, he breathed that powerful breath of his into your nostrils. We just don't have normal breath in us. We have a powerful breath of God in us. You know, you really have to stop and think who you really are and what you're really made of and what's deep down inside of you. We walk around thinking we're just like any old Joe blowing a block. We aren't. We're all different human beings, different personalities, but we all have the power of God in us. And we walk around just like when God was talking to me about it, he just was really upset. He said, they're not fighting, they're not winning the wars. He said, they have to learn to fight. And that's whenever he says, you know, get up out of that grave. And he just dealt with me about the fact that he wants his people to learn they're in a warfare and that we have to fight. Even if all your fight is when the devil comes against you, say, yep, devil, you can't touch that. That belongs to God. And you just can't, and just keep telling that until he leaves it alone. But that's your part. And when you do your part, then God steps in and then he sets you free. All right. Ezekiel 37:9-10, then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to the winds, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath, from the four winds. Breathe into these dead bodies so they may live again. So I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies. They all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army. This was dead bones that a man spoke over. Isn't that what it says? And whenever you speak over your own dead bones, you know, when your body just doesn't want to line up with the word of God, speak to this. This body belongs to God. Your bones are dead. Breathe and speak life into them. You do that. You know, I think if we all, when we was in our homes, would go in a corner and speak to over our own lives instead of harassing everybody else under the sun, that we would be set free and we would be the body of Christ that God wants us to be. We're still speaking too many negative things, thinking too many negative things, and we have not become the positive people that God wants us to be. If you find yourself in a dry in dead place, begin to prophesy and release the wind or breath of God into your situation and watch God bring new life into you and what's around you, which is resurrection life. Quit your sitting around moaning, groaning, complaining. Speak life into the dead situation. Command it to come to life and come forth. Yell, Lazarus, come forth. You know, whatever it is. Because that's what God told me. He said, they're just like Lazarus. They have to speak to themselves and come forth and fight. All right, the movement of God. One of the ways that you can travel in the realm of the Spirit is by his wind. His wind brings us up to a higher realm and level of revelation. And Ezekiel 3:12 says, and the Spirit lifted me up, and I heard a loud rumbling sound behind me. The Spirit was there. The wind was there. And something happened to him. The reason why we don't have things happening in our life is because we really don't believe the way we ought, so we don't have the wind nor the Spirit. Or if we do believe, sometimes we believe amiss, I just heard him say. And see, we have to be in perfect alignment with God in order for his word to become active and alive and do the works that you're supposed to do. We also see this take place in the life of the prophet Elijah. In 2 Kings 2:11, As they were walking along and talking, suddenly a chariot of fire appeared, drawn by horses of fire. It drove between the two men, separating them, and Elijah was carried by a whirlwind into heaven. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you was in your car driving down the road and your wife was being cantankerous and all of a sudden here come a chariot and took you out of there and left her sitting in the car all by herself? Yeah, God's able to do anything. I knew you two would think that was cute. Don't you pick fight on him. Okay, we also see this in the New Testament when Philip was taken away by the Spirit after he was done ministering to the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8:38 and 39. So Philip commanded the chariot to stand still. I thought that was awesome. They're in the air. And he tells his chariot to stand still. And both Philip and eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. You know, they went down in the water together, then the wind pulled him up, the Spirit pulled him up out of there, and he was gone, the man standing all by himself. We would think somebody was bipolar, wouldn't we? They tell us that happened. You know. Come on. God wants to do that again. What wonderful thing. Wouldn't that be wonderful? All right, then the other thing that the wind carries, whirlwind carries, is the provision of God. If you need provision in your life, ask the Lord to release his winds of provision. Isn't that great revelation tonight? A lot of us need provision, don't we? Numbers 11:31. Now the Lord sent a wind that brought quail from the sea and let them fall all around the camp. For miles in every direction, there were quail flying about 3 feet above the ground. See, they were starving and they wanted meat. They didn't want manna. So God just caused a wind to bring all the quail so they could eat till they were sick. Right? All right, it also brings angelic activity. The winds are a sign of angelic activity being present. Hebrews 1:7, I make my angels swift winds and my ministers fiery flames. But when there was a prophet one time who was in bed and all of a sudden his curtain stood straight out and then the devil was in the room. Well, when the wind blew and blew the curtain straight out, also blew his bed out of place, it blew it to the other side of the room. And so when the devil was through talking to the prophet, I can't remember who that, I don't know if it was Smith Wigglesworth or who it was, but yeah, he told the devil to leave and the devil started leaving. He said, oh, by the way, get back here and put bed back where it was. And the wind blew his bed back where it was. Yeah, see what kind of life you could be living? Dear Lord. You know, all the dumb things you do, and you could be doing such great things, you know, in the spirit realm. You really could. Where am I at? When you discern. When you discern angelic activity, prophesy. Now, we're going to read the winds are a sign, right? The winds are a sign of angelic activity being present. And Hebrews 1:7 says, I make my angels swift, what? Winds, and my ministers fiery flames. So, you know, if all of a sudden you're sitting in the room and you feel a breeze, I would say an angel was in the room with you. And that breeze is the wind of God that it brought with him. What do you think? When you discern angelic activity, prophesy to the winds and release the word of the Lord. As you prophesy to the winds, they will watch over the word of the Lord to see it performed. They love to do the will of the Father. So it said, when you discern angelic activity, prophesy to the winds, because they bring the wind, and release the word of the Lord. Do you need something done in your life? Then prophesy to that wind, and then that wind will release that prophetic word, and it'll come back to you and bless you. Isaiah 55:11 So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing to which I sent it. You guys in here, they have gotten all these prophetic words, and you still want another prophetic word, another prophetic word. And the reason why God doesn't give it to you every time you want it, because they haven't done the first or believe the first thing I told him. So why should I waste my breath telling them something else? Are you hearing this? There are times really when people want a prophetic word that I don't give it, because God said I really don't want to speak to them. They are not listening to what I'm saying to them. And so we just stop the prophetic word. I could still carry on with it, and God would still use me, but he already told me he didn't want to. Are you listening here? All right, it also brings the judgment of God. The Lord uses the winds to release his judgment and justice to deal with the wicked and ungodly. Proverbs 10:25. When the storms of life come, the wicked are whirled away, but the godly have a lasting foundation. In Jeremiah 30:23, behold, the whirlwind of the Lord goes forth with fury, a continuing whirlwind. It will fall violently on the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of the Lord will not return until he has done it, and until he has performed the intent of his heart. In the latter days, you will consider it. We're living in the latter days, and God is angry. You better watch out when the winds start blowing. But God has been telling us listen for the thunder, because now we're going to be walking in a thunder and lightning, and that's not really a good thing per se. All right? And the Lord declares this in Hosea 8:4-7. They set up kings, but not by me. They made princesses, but I did not acknowledge them. From their silver and gold they made idols for themselves, that they might be cut off. Your calf is rejected, O Samaria, my anger is aroused against them. How long until they attain to innocence? For from Israel is even this, a workman made it, and it is not God, but the calf of Samaria should be broken to pieces. They sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. The stalk has no bud, it shall never produce meal. If it should produce, aliens would swallow it up. Now, I want to stop here. Years ago, you know, people used to call me, and they want me to come to their homes and pray. You know, they were having a fight or marital fight or something, or pray through their house. This one night I was called, I forgot where, to somebody's trailer, and they were carrying on like you wouldn't believe. And the woman kept saying, I just don't understand this. I just don't understand this. And I didn't know the scripture was in here, but he said she sowed the wind to the wind, and now she's weeping the whirlwind. And she said, well, how long do I have to reap the whirlwind? And I said, I don't know, God's not saying. She said, well, I'm not. I'm giving up right now. The marriage is ended, and I'm out of here. But see, she caused her own problem, and she was upset with God. She was upset with God, so she wasn't going to do what God was telling her to do. She was out of there. And later on, I found out terrible things happened, you know, in their lives, because they were totally against God. But when God says, you sow to the wind and you reap the whirlwind. So if you're going to do evil things, and that's what you're going to reap, is evil things. So don't be blaming God for what happens in your life. You have to look at your own self. It's you. It's you that's causing this. I was thinking today, you know, I was reading about what those people that, you know, over in Israel, where they captured all those people and they interrogated this one guy, and they said, well, why did you capture the women? They said, so we could rape them and torture them and kill them. And then they were saying, you know, where they cut the one woman's head off and then raped her while she was dead and laying there bleeding, and showed a picture of that. But then they said, why did you take the women, the babies and the small children, so we could rape them and torture them and kill them? And they were snickering. They really thought that was a wonderful thing that they did. And I'm thinking about, okay, so here are these people who love God. They really do love God, but they have to now digest this. Now, I prayed for, when I saw the video, I really prayed for these people, you know, that they wouldn't blame this, you know, put the blame on God, but just get yourself clear. That would be a terrible thing to see, because he did see pictures of it. and it'd be a terrible thing to live with, knowing that you served this God that you loved and thought was going to protect you from all harm. But as I read my word, that isn't how it works. He has to let you go through hell. He just can't let you not go through troubles. But as I was reading about I was watching the video about what they did to some of the women, I thought, you know what, these women went through the same hell that Jesus did when he took the beating and went up to Calvary. You know. So if we're going to live for Jesus, we suffer like Jesus did too. If you're right now and then, some of you might, or listen to me, would just walk away and say, oh, I don't want to do this. You never got in your word and really read what God, what was going to happen to you whenever you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You're a peculiar people. But God makes you strong so you can endure the suffering. You know, I always say, well, you know, we never had to take the beatings, we go to Calvary. But these people did. They went through all that. Are you understanding this? And I'm just hearing God say, when you release yourself into my hands, then you trust me to keep you in my hands, no matter what you go through. Okay, I want to encourage you to not fear the winds or the whirlwinds that God is releasing. If God wants something to swiftly take place, he will send a whirlwind. And that is what he's doing right now. He said, overnight, suddenly, he's going to come down upon us, and everything as promised is going to happen. Whirlwinds shift our minds and release new wineskins. There is great advancement taking place in every realm of society. We must lean on the discernment and understanding of God and not on our own. We must lean on the discernment and understanding of God and not our own. When we lean on our own understanding, it can cause us to miss God or call something demonic when it's really God. I'm telling you guys, you know, it doesn't matter how much you have to suffer. Just don't quit. Just don't quit. I mean, the whole bulletin's all about that. Because this is where God's at. He's encouraging us. We're going to go through some. If you read the prophetic word today, or when you read a prophetic word in the Sunday bulletin, he talks about how diabolical this is going to get. The enemy's going to become. And he's trying to get us to the place where nothing will take us out. Look at all the martyrs that died for Christ in the word. Are you listening to this? Well, the people don't like me. Well, they don't. They didn't like Jesus either. They really didn't. And if you really, you need to start looking at some of the things that happened in your past, how people treated you, and you're standing thinking, well, why did they treat me like that? I did nothing wrong. It's because the devil in them didn't like the Spirit of God in you. So that devil in them was trying to make you miserable. And the only way that devil can make you miserable is if you give in to that. Oh, they hurt my feelings. You know, and all that kind of junk. If you're truly walking with God, you're going to find more people coming against you than that are for you. And that is the truth. And see, a lot of people can't come to grips with that. I mean, the young kids are going to be fought. They are being fought. And I've been trying to teach my kids, you know, the devil's going to fight you because you belong to God. And, you know, they ask me questions about why I do what I do, and I try to explain it the best I can, but some things are too deep for some kids, and they can't understand walking through what you're walking through. You know, all the time we're walking through all these bad places, we're trying to win souls. But too many people are just giving up. I hope that's none of you in here tonight. I hope that you've all decided a long time ago, or maybe even during song service, say, you know, I'm going to start fighting. Because that's all that's in the Word is about fighting and putting on your gear. And God told me one time that he said, my church does not use all the weapons of warfare that I've put in there. And really, we touch on praise as a weapon, but we really never have really emphasized it until lately. And so if that isn't telling you something, then something's wrong with your head. The way God's emphasizing praise and worship right now means we're in for one of the biggest battles we've ever gone into. And we have to praise ourselves up right now so that when the battle, you know, you could go out there in your car and that could be your battle. And you were just in here and really praised God with all your heart. And because the praise went before, God could intervene for you. All right? All right, when we lean our own understanding, it can cause us to miss God or call something demonic when it's really God. Don't fear the rapid changes taking place. It's a sign that the prophecies and the promises of God will be fulfilled at an accelerated rate. And he's been telling us that. I want to encourage you to not fight the wind of God or stand in opposition to it. Allow the wind of God to take you where he wants to take you, even if a few months from now, things will look different. Winds of change reveal what's to come. And all you're hearing on the news, well, that I'm seeing on the news right now is that America is downgrading. There's a lot of things coming our way that is really going to mess America up. But America is downgrading, and how many of you know that's true? You know, they're buying smaller homes, smaller cars, you know, groceries are out of sight, and gas is coming down. But, you know, God is blowing his wind is what I want to say to get to you tonight. God's told me, he said, my winds of change have been blowing for quite a while now. And my people do not know that my winds are blowing. And every time he would say, doesn't hear, don't you hear the wind? I would think, God, what are we supposed to be hearing? I would. I'd be never telling you that because God's saying, and I'm thinking, I don't hear nothing. But like I say, you know, it's not something you might not hear from your ears. It might be something you see with your eyes, see something change. Oh, that's the wind blowing, you know. And we look at things, we don't look at things through God's eyes or his perspective. We look at it up through our own eyes and what we think should be taking place. And we get it all messed up. We get it messed up. The glory of God's in here right now. The glory of God's just moving all through this room right now. I said to God today, if you noticed, I had quite a few prophetic words today. And so I finally said, you know, God, I'd like to have a personal prophetic word. So he gave me one paragraph. Next paragraph, he said, you already have the glory. You carry the glory. He said, what you should be asking for is miracles. And he said, whenever you do what I ask you to do, then I'm going to let you have the miracles. Talking to me. You're not me. He says, I told you, have 1 meal a day. He said, you haven't gone down to 1 meal a day yet. And see, when I'm 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, I eat a meal at breakfast usually. But 3 o'clock, I eat a piece of toast or a cracker. You know what I'm saying? That's a meal to God. So I have to have just 1 meal a day, then nothing else. And when I do that, then God said, then you'll have the miracles that you need. He said, healing's in the atmosphere here. He said, but I'm waiting. And he told me twice, I'm waiting on you. When you do what I ask you to do, then you're going to receive all I told you you're going to receive. So, you know, don't blame me because I'm not eating, that I eat a cracker. Don't blame me. What is God asked you to do that you haven't done that's holding you from God using you to perform miracles? Come on. The wind's blowing, and it's blowing change. Are you allowing it to blow over you tonight and cause him to change whatever it is in you that's holding back that miracle working power? Come on. Put the blame where it belongs, not on me, but on you, individually and corporately. We could be a sign and a wonder to the world if we would just get it together. Amen. What God wants to do here tonight is he really wants to blow gale force winds over you. Just not winds, but gale force winds over you. And if you want those gale force winds, then the altar's open.